You know I can't recall the day your dream became my life. I've lived an eternity with you by my side.
You by my side.
Like the sun and the moon, I've seen that your light reflects mine. And riding together, we have conquered the skies. But for so long, I failed to see the truth as I searched for a fantasy that lived within you. Said, how did you know that you'd be my angel when your wings were jabbed into my heart? Where did you see that we would be wonderful and our dreams would live where we are?
Hello, I'm Shane Schultz, and this is Arisen Strength, the Motivational Podcast. Folks, we do this show because we feel there are far too many dreams, talents, and capabilities that are being suppressed for whatever reason, whether it be injury, illness, or life experiences. These situations have a way of finding us being robbed of what it is that makes us special and unique in this world, and that's our passions. Here at Arisen Strength, we encourage people to pursue their passions in spite of the challenges they face. Now, how we do that is with our three-pillar concept. Number one, we support. Number two, we empower. And after all that work, number three, we have the right to celebrate. Folks, that's the Arisen Strength concept. Our goal is to help you be more than the challenges you face. On tonight's episode, we're going to be talking about the word frustration. But I don't do this show all by myself. I do it with my good friend, Wayne the Hack Hacker. Wayne, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Frustration. That's going to be a great topic. That's one I know that I deal with a lot. And it's something I had to learn a lot about from anger management.
Anger
management is one of these things that, you know, it's different for each person, I think, you know, where we all react differently to different things and things come out differently. And for me, I know my most immediate reaction to anger is frustration. The anger and the frustration are extremely closely tied, whether the frustration leads to anger or the anger result of the frustration. I just know that for me, that those are very, very closely related. So this frustration topic is one that really hits home close for me.
Yeah, and I think the way that we promoted it is the fact that frustration can be, but it doesn't need to be consuming to our lives. And that, just like you, I had to learn. I had to learn over a long period of time, which is going on over 5 years now, that there's some ways that we can be able to work our frustration through a process to where it's no longer consuming us, but in fact, it's just part of our lives. In other words, we're trying to make it a smaller percentage of what it is that our life is all about. And so, you know, when it comes to frustrations, there's a whole lot of them out there. We've had a few over the past year or so, anywhere between injury, illness, or life experiences, just like Arisen Strength.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, for me, they're rooted a lot in expectation. You know, this is where I play out things in my head a lot, especially conversations I'm having with people or going to have with people. You know, I try to play it out, and I'll play it out multiple different ways. A lot like, you know, it's very funny. We were watching The Good Wife last night, and there was a scene with Will planning out his questioning of one of the characters there. So, you know, I don't want to go into all that. But he's a lawyer, and he's going to planning out his cross-examination or his examination of somebody. And he's planning out in his head, what am I going to say? What are they going to say? What am I going to say? And then he also has multiple paths along it. Like, oh, if they say this, then it's going to go this way. But getting it all planned out. Well, that's a lot of what I do myself is I plan out kind of how conversations or situations are going to play out. And then when they don't, there's like, whether it's a panic or whatever, if something doesn't meet my expectations, all of a sudden there's this kind of this trigger for sort of frustration and anger. And depending on what's going on, I might say something you know, very sarcastic and mean and at the person, I might just shut down. I'm typically not a violent or physical or aggressive type person. Mm-hmm. I'm more likely to make a very snide comment or just kind of just sort of shut down completely. And then, and that's kind of what happens with me with the frustration. And then what will happen is it'll build up. But it sort of starts with those expectations, and those expectations are what I need to challenge. I really can't stop the frustration from happening. I mean, your emotions are going to happen.
Right.
Emotions are emotions and they happen. And what I can do for me is try to manage my expectations a little bit more, like be much more open to something happening that I didn't expect. I don't have to expect everything. I'm trying to remind myself of that so that when that frustration starts building up, I can start saying, oh, you know what? That was just me again, expecting too much. Or maybe it's a matter of actually managing the expectation differently so that I expect, you know, better or more different things so that when those things do start happening, I'm okay with it and it doesn't start me down that path. So it's not a matter of eliminating emotions. It's a matter of sort of managing the emotions enough so that I can sort of flip a switch or, you know, short circuit it before it becomes too all consuming.
Yeah, it's almost like goal setting as well. You want to be able to set something ahead of you that's attainable. And you don't necessarily, a lot of people, me being included, when we're sitting there and we're planning out a process or we're planning out a plan of attack or what have you, like in that scene in the show, the thing is that the character is a lawyer. He was carrying out what it is in his head, how his cross-examination was going to be. Here's the thing. When you're putting it on paper, there's nobody to throw a cog into the gears. So it's like there's no problems there. It's freewheeling. And so he had a plan and everything in this sense. And I have done this many a times. I sit there and I have a plan for some of the things that I do, whether it be a speech or a podcast or, you know, some other creativity thing that I've got going on. And while you're putting it on paper, well, there's no adversity. There really is none. It's really the ideal situation, which isn't really bad when you're talking about being creative. But I also have a process as to where it's not just one step. You know, I look at it things from a three-step process. Number one, what's ideal? Number two, what's going to be my adversity? And number three, what's the intermix of the two? So that's going to be the final thought process as to, okay, this is what I'm going to deal with. But there's been numerous times when I've dealt with my own personal emotions, when I've dealt with my own personal situations, my own pain, my own misgivings, and my own expectations, I got thrown out of whack as to where, man, something just doesn't make sense here. How did this happen, and why did things go out of the way than what it is that I had planned in the first place?
Yeah, and it's learning how to process that, at least for me, has been very key. And one thing that's been very helpful for me has been one-on-one therapy. Mm. And learning to take advantage of the one-on-one therapy to help me process my frustrations. And there is kind of that in itself is a bit of a process, because in order to do that, I have to kind of start out by sort of, if you know, singling out the object of my frustration, whatever it happens to be, you know, and in some sense, kind of putting it on, you know, the other person and blaming them, at least to get the ball rolling so that I can start getting it out honestly. And then I can start turning it back on me. But, you know, if I can't just, you know, shut it down every time and say, you know, when I get frustrated or angry and say, you know, that's completely on me. You know, that's completely on me. If I start out that way, then I never really get a chance to sort of explore what's really happening. But if mm-hmm. if I'm being emotionally honest in one of my therapy sessions, and, you know, and I just learned sort of just do this, and, you know, my therapist just gets to sit there and watch me do this, is, you know, I'll start out blaming the other person, if that's the right word. Yeah. But I'm saying, you know, this person did this, blah, 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 blah. And then as it goes along, I kind of get it out a little bit, and then I'll start challenging myself. It's like, well, what was I expecting that person to do? Why was I expecting that person to do that? Is that person even able to you know, even do this sort of thing, you know, whatever it happens to be. And once I kind of process through that, then I have to also start recognizing that, you know, they have their own set of expectations in that situation. You know, I can write it all down myself and play out the conversation in my head or even on paper. But as you were saying, there's nobody else providing input there. That's just all me, 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 me. And there's somebody else with a completely different life experience than me. You know, and I'm, you know, I'm trying to imagine, maybe if I'm being really careful, I'll try to imagine what would I say if I were them, but what would they say? What, as much as I know, but I don't know them perfectly. So they're, you know, everyone's got a little wild card in their life. You don't know what's been any interaction with any person. You don't know what just happened with them 10 minutes before you walked in the room.
Right.
So their mind could be in a completely different place than you could have imagined, or, you know, that I could have imagined. So that I have to recognize that by really kind of processing and getting it out. And it helps for me to have the therapist there to sort of, well, it keeps me grounded, keeps me on target, and keeps me honest in some sense. And, but also doesn't let me just get away with blaming the other person and then stopping there. It's like, okay, no, we'll follow through a little bit. You know, what's really going on here? And getting to the point where now I can be a little bit, I'm a lot better with, you know, just sort of open to sort of what's going on without having to really be too judgmental. You know, I still need to do that. I mean, that's still part of my, you know, it's not perfection, right? It's progress.
Right.
But I don't get consumed by it where I'm like, just like need to shut myself in my room and never go outside. I don't need to drink to just drown out other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm able to sort of like be part of what's going on, how actively I participate. And that's something I can work on a little bit more, but I can at least be there. While the action's happening and not get all worked up. And, you know, that's a long process over many, many years.
Yeah. And like you said, there's a certain expectation as to what you're going to be doing, much less what they're going to be doing. And then they have their own expectations. Although another word that I would use is motives, right?
Right.
Because we have our own motive of why it is that we're doing something. They have their own motive as to why it is that they're doing something. In most cases, they are not going to be the same. In 99.9% of the time, it's not going to be the exact same. So there's going to be some variation that's going to be part of the process here. Again, going back to the scene that we were talking about with a lawyer cross-examining, he was sitting there and he was figuring it out. He had it all figured out. He was all confident in everything. He walked into the courtroom and he started doing exactly what it is that he had planned on doing. He was getting done what it is that he wanted, and he was actually kind of gloating because he knew that he had planned this out perfectly. But the other lawyer then came to realize what it is that the process was that this lawyer had in mind, and they started to do things outside of what it is that he had expected. And it threw him out of whack. It got him to the point as to where he could not perform near as well as what it is that he started out to. And that's one thing that is very important when we're talking about our frustrations, is to realize what our expectations are. And are our expectations something that's really attainable? Or are they ideal? Because if you sit there and you go ahead and you figure out something to be perfect, this is going to be perfect. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I mean, it's like walking across the tightrope from one end to another and not wobble once. It's very rarely going to happen.
You know, I've seen it several professional poker players, Annie Duke in particular. I remember her talking about this.
Sure.
But I've seen a couple of others talk about it, how they don't like playing sort of like online poker or even poker with people who just like kind of like just get into the tournament though, because they're going to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're playing against somebody who, I don't understand how you play the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it can be very frustrating for them because everything they know about the game, which, you know, they know how to play the game by the numbers, and they can, but also they know that the other person knows to play the game by the numbers. So when somebody does something, a lot of times, you know, in the professional setting, you know, their reasoning is, okay, A person who understands how to play the game, if they do this, this, and this, oh, this is what they must be holding.
Yeah.
So now you can play that up against them. And when they play against these other people who are not professionals or not into it, it's really frustrating because you can't take anything from any of their moves. It's like, okay, that person passed. What does that mean? Probably nothing.
Right.
They don't know how to play. You know? Well, that person just raised me. What does that mean? It probably means nothing because they don't know what they're doing. And it throws everything out the window, and it kind of changes the way they, you know, it's just frustrating for them. And they just don't like doing it. So they won't, they don't like dealing with that. And it's very funny. It's a very interesting thing about how frustration really can just creep in. And it challenges, you know, I think it's when our expectations are challenged, it's kind of a knee jerk reaction to have this, like the brain kind of freezes up a little bit. And, say, and if you're not prepared, that frustration then can come out as anger, right? Is what ends up happening, because it's like, and mine, I used to have a problem with it probably mostly, not a problem, but I noticed it a lot, when I was teaching, because as students just don't behave like normal people.
Get out.
You know, it could be small things like never doing their homework and then expecting to be able to answer the questions in class or on the test. And then, yeah. and then asking about it and then say, well, did you do your homework? No. You know, then how did you expect to be able to answer the questions?
Or be able to participate in the class, right?
Part of that then comes back on me, because maybe I react badly to that kind of situation. I mean, I love dealing with students who make an effort, because then I have an idea of how to help them.
Right.
You know, oh, did you do your homework? Yeah, let me see the homework that you did. Okay, well, I can see what you're doing wrong here. Okay, now we can, you know, address some of the issues that you're having. And that's fun. It's exciting. And, you know, it's like you see the person learning. But the student who puts in minimal effort, you know, say, well, I couldn't do my homework last night. Well, that's what you did. And you pull it out, and they haven't even done the first problem yet. They go, well, you didn't do anything. Well, I don't know how to do it. But you didn't do anything. I mean, it seems to me that you should know how to do something. What do you mean? You don't know how to do anything? You can't even copy the problem now? It's very difficult for me to process that, because I, you know, learning is, and I'm doing it myself, is learning. Learning is a sort of an active process. You learn by doing.
Yeah, you have to participate.
If you're not doing it, then you have no hope of learning. And in fact, I used to think, one of the things I used to think about homework was, the more you struggle in the class, the more homework you need to do.
Yeah.
You know, people who are doing, understand what's going on, they don't need to do any homework, right? Because they already understand it. Right. And so it's one of these things that, you know, the further behind you are, the more work you have to do to catch up. And a lot of people don't do that. We sort of have almost a reverse thing. Like, well, I didn't even try that because I can't do it. Well, you know, you're the one that should be trying it then.
Right.
And it's not just in homework, but, you know, I need to take that lesson that I'm trying to give the students, and I need to turn that back on myself and say, okay, these things that I struggle with that I just don't do because I struggle with them. Well, those are things that I need to be doing. I need to be struggling with them. I need to try and get through them. I need to deal with that frustration. And not let it turn to anger, not let it shut me down. But, you know, it's telling me something. What is it telling me? I think that's another thing about emotions that I've had to learn is for all the emotions. My emotions are telling me something. And if I should pay a little bit of attention to what that is, so I can, you know, deal with the situation in a little bit more, you know, effective manner than maybe in the past, where I just make an completely emotional decision. With no thought into it. And a lot of times my emotional decision is to just shut down, to stop, to just ignore it. And that's, has proven lifetime of evidence, support this has not helped me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, it's like you had mentioned poker. One of the things that comes to my mind when I was in my gambling career that I had for too far long was blackjack. And I would sit there and I'd be playing blackjack, and I'd be playing it in a way that I was comfortable doing. And I was playing it in a way that would be, I guess, expected for a advanced player that would be playing blackjack. But then you would have somebody come in and sit in the middle of the table, and they would get 20 as their number, which would be two face cards. And everything is going fine, and the dealer is sitting there and saying, okay, you don't want to hit, you don't want to hit, because they have their own expectation, right? There's like, you're not going to want to hit. You got 20, you're not going to want. Oh no, I want to split these. What? You know, what'd you just say? And you know, next thing you know, people are splitting tens. Well, that throws everything out of whack. But does it really? Because I'll be honest with you. It does, as far as like what was going on and as far as what your expectation was, But again, we're talking about a different motive. They have a different motive. They don't necessarily care. They're not playing for your cards. They're not playing for your money. They're playing for theirs. So honestly, I've seen people who literally do this move is to where, look, I don't care what you get. I care what I get. And, you know, and that just doesn't seem right or fair. And then you get into that old age argument, what's fair and unfair. And that's something that definitely can consume one's life. Another thing is for me, I deal with extreme codependency. I have for the longest, longest time. Now, this is not something that you're born with. This is something that is developed over a long-standing period of time. This takes a lot of experiences and such in order to be able to develop this pattern of the way that you are. And there's two ways of codependency. There is the one that is needing all the time, and then there's the one that is rescuing all the time. Well, I'm the one that rescues all the time. So I would be sitting there and I would go out of my way in order to be able to help somebody. I would go out of my way in order to be, I would sacrifice my own self to help another person. And so I would not necessarily expect any gratitude or anything like that. I really didn't care about that. The only thing that I did care about was don't hurt me. You know what I mean? Don't sit there and turn things around to make me look like a bad guy, because that's happened numerous times is to where, because again, I was putting far too much credit into my expectation versus someone else's motives. And that's something that's really something that can throw somebody's life into a tailspin. You can end up being a chronic negative person. You could sit there and you could constantly have in that avalanche. Nothing ever goes right. Everybody is wrong. You know, it's like, why doesn't people, you know, listen to me? Why aren't they believing what in me? Or why aren't they doing what it is that I would expect them to do? Well, the reason is because they're not you. Because they have their own special and uniqueness to them. And their special and uniqueness is no less than what yours is. Especially to them. So you definitely need to be careful in regards to having expectations in regards to other people and how it is that they think is going to happen in a particular situation. But there's also other types of times as to where you're talking about frustrations, right, Wayne? Like, say, for instance, our health issues, whether it be medical or mental. That's pretty frustrating at times.
Yeah, that can definitely be frustrating. And again, it's about managing expectations. I know in the last couple of weeks, the one that I've really had to come to terms with and try and deal with is, you know, I've been working on losing weight by changing my diet, changing my food lifestyle or something. I hate, you know, trying to call it a diet is a little bit dangerous because it's not really, I mean, it's a diet only in the sense that it's the food I eat, not a diet in that I'm trying to eat less food or something, you know, because well, that's a whole other thing. It's a mindset. You know, I want to eat food the way I want to eat food every day and be comfortable with it. So I have to change the way I think about food. And the main reason is so I can lose weight. And it's not just to lose weight, because, you know, I don't really care. You know, weight is whatever it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But it's the health issue. I was getting to the point where my health was really, really getting, you know, very, very poor health. And then something had to be done. And so this was what I was doing. And for a first several week, couple of months, I was having, it was very easy. It was, the weight was coming off 3, 4, 5 pounds a month. I mean, a week, 3, 4, 5 pounds a week. Yep. For a couple of months, I got up to where I lost about 60 pounds. And then, I had a couple of doctor's appointments. You get weight every time you go to the doctor. And, my weight one time, and then 2 weeks later, I went back to the doctor, for another appointment. And my weight had only gone down a pound in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And there was this, you know, really just kind of like a lot of frustration was really the kind of like the, it was really the only way to explain it. And it triggered, you know, a lot of times when I get frustrated, I kind of shut down a little bit. And so for about a day or two, I was really like kind of really deflated. It was like, I was really shut down and it was like, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? Let's beat myself up. And trying to get through that with my last session with my counselor. We kind of worked through this. I mean, I already kind of knew how I was thinking about it and how to get over it and through it, but it, you know, really helps having a counselor there for me to be able to deal with this. But it was, it has a lot to do with expectation. You know, just because I lose, you know, 5 pounds a week easily, you know, what's probably happening is where I'm not realizing I'm slipping up because I'm also not being real careful about writing everything down, which is what they tell you to do. I mean, as, you know, if you're going to really do this, you know, write down everything, all every piece of food before you eat it, you know, before you consume it, actually make a note of it. And, you know, don't rely on, I'll write it down later. No. Before you do it, write it down. One, that lets you see it before you eat it. But you're also able to go back and look and say, you know, I can see where I've written it down. Where now I'm trying to like use my memory and say, well, maybe on that day I might have gone overboard a little bit, or maybe that day I wasn't being as careful as I needed to be. So there's that part that figures into it. And I have to own that. I mean, I can't let my frustration, you know, just build up without me taking some ownership at some point and realizing, you know what, I wasn't writing everything down I did. And there was a couple of days maybe where, sure, I'm not eating pasta and carbohydrates, you know, bread and stuff, but I was kind of loading up on the protein there where maybe I could have cut back, you know, we had ribs and I had an extra set of ribs and, oh, okay, I'll do it. You know, things like that. And that, so I have to be careful. I have to make sure that I kind of do that honest investigation and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to try a little harder this time. You know, I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm not going to let the frustration, you know, tell me to just give it up. Cause that's another thing that frustration really lets you do is for me is in a special situation like this. Well, if it doesn't matter what I do, then why does it matter what I do? And then throw it all out and just go back to doing what I was doing before. And I have to constantly remind myself, well, that's not really an option because what I was doing before did not work. You know, so if I'm trying to find something that does not work, going back, you know, to what I did before, and I have to apply that to drinking too, you know, I can, you know, oh, go back to drinking. You know, that worked before. No, it didn't. You know, like it was, you know, so that's not even an option. You know, that's, I have to like think of do, so, you know, just be a little bit more careful, try to be a little bit more on point, stay more, a little bit more on task. And also realize that, hey, there could be other things. In those 2 weeks, well, I know one of them was the first appointment I had early in the morning and the second appointment I went to right after lunch. And I eat a big salad for lunch. So there's a little bit extra. There's probably a pound there between the vegetables, the broccoli and the carrots and the stuff that I throw in the salad. You know, that kind of weighs it down a little bit. I put a lot of salsa, not a lot, but salsa in my, that weighs something. But I probably ate a pound or two, you know, a pound, say there. I think I left my shoes on when I got away. There's another pound. there's the time of the day just can make a difference of a couple of pounds. And if we're only talking 2 weeks and I already lost a pound, there might have been 3 more pounds I lost that I just didn't know because this is the time of day. So I'm beating myself up really for no reason.
Well, another thing is that what you want to look at is education, right? Because it's very easy to expect what it is that's going on. I mean, if you have a couple weeks as to where all of a sudden you're taking on, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds at a time, man, you get used to that. You get into a role, you just start to expect that. But there's also education into this process as to where water weight is what sheds off immediately and sheds off in a larger amount than what actual body content fat would take off. So education definitely helps when it comes to these types of situations. People who are dealing with these chronic illnesses, people who are dealing with invisible illnesses and such. Education helps. But again, the thing is that you got to be open-minded to it. You got to be open-minded to the fact that, hey, this isn't going to go perfectly. It's just not going to. You know, like people who deal with chronic pain. Listen, I never wanted to know what chronic pain was like. I really didn't. I'll be honest with you. I never went back and forth on this ever. I never wanted to know what nerve pain was. I never wanted to, but I'm certainly going through it right now. The bottom line is that here's a situation that sometimes the pain that I have from my injury that I've had since before Easter is in my neck, but it also is compressing a significant nerve in my body called the ulnar nerve, which is controlling my dominant arm. And there are times as to where the humidity seems to make the pain that much more intense. And so it might behoove me to go ahead and educate myself to find out, okay, does humidity actually make a difference when it comes to nerve pain? Does any number one of the outside factors that are out there, does that attribute to more pain or more discomfort? If it does, what can I do in order to be able to alleviate it to as best as I possibly can? I know it's not going to go away, right? We figured that out. It's been since the day before Easter. And, you know, today is, you know, going on the last week of July. So I know it's not going to go away. I know I'm going to need surgery and such, but there are certain things that I can do that I can learn about so that I can be prepared to a point, and not in an ideal way, but more as to where I can react in a more sufficient way that's going to be beneficial to me as opposed to detrimental. And that's what we're really trying to get across here. Frustration is something that is just going to happen. It's an emotion. It's going to happen. There are numerous ways of developing frustration. There's anger, sad, mad, glad, any number of different things that can send you into a frustrated state. Okay, so we know that that's going to happen, but it's how you react to the frustration and how it is that that's going to make the determination. Is this going to be beneficial or is it going to be detrimental? And that's what we're trying to get across here with Arisen Strength, because we want people to be able to still pursue what it is that makes them special and unique despite what it is that they're going through. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and like I said, it's important. It's not about ignoring your emotions, and it's not about condemning your emotions, beating yourself up over your emotions. Your emotions are your emotions. You're entitled to them. Mm-hmm. But your emotions are also telling you something, and it's your body talking to you in some way, or it's your brain talking to you. There's some part of your body talking to you about telling you something about what's going on. And it's helps if you don't, especially if you don't like the way the emotions are making you feel or act, to question it a little bit and say, okay, you know, what is that telling me? You know, why am I really frustrated by that? And that's where the education, like you said, can really pay off, because it helps you direct your action a little bit more productively, effectively. If without the education, now you're just kind of just whatever the next thing I can think of to try is, and maybe that can be detrimental. But with a little bit of education, you say, okay, let me look into this a little bit. Okay, this makes sense. This makes sense. This makes sense. Okay, let me try this next time. Basically, it's just, you know, our emotions are telling us something. So we need to be able to deal with those emotions and ask, you know, try and find out, what is the emotion telling me here? Mm-hmm. You know, why am I feeling, you know, it's okay that I get angry or frustrated, but one thing I want to be able to do is maybe if I figure out why I'm angry and frustrated precisely, and that's where the education comes in, that can give me options. It can give me a sense of forgiveness too. It's, you know, hey, if I'm beating myself up or blaming somebody else, with a little bit of education, maybe I can figure out that, oh, this is what's really happening. It's not my fault. It's not their fault. It's it's something else that was going on, and it was something maybe that I can control. So now, especially in the future, this situation is much less likely to occur. So emotions are not necessarily good or bad, but they are telling us something. And every once in a while, we want to sort of interrogate those emotions and see if we can figure out what is going on that's triggering that emotion. And then kind of deal with those things. Don't deal with emotions directly. Deal with sort of the root causes of the emotion and try and control the behavior later on, after the emotions is triggering. Don't let the emotion drive the bus.
Yeah.
And don't get caught up in the emotion itself. Because the emotions are the emotions, and we're all entitled to them, and we all have them, and we're all going to have them. I'm not going to get rid of my emotions no matter how hard I try.
Well, and another thing is, and make no mistake about this, folks, frustration is pain. Frustration can be very, very painful. It can be painful mentally, or it can be painful even physically. Because as you get more and more frustrated, you get more agitated. The more that your body gets agitated, the more emphasis on the effects or the symptoms that your body's going to go through. So if I'm sitting there and I am constantly, you know, I'm getting more and more frustrated with what it is that's going on, like, say, for instance, the injury that I'm dealing with. Well, all I'm doing is I'm focusing on the injury, right? So while I'm focusing on it, that's going to make it more intense, because it's almost like taking a microscope and dialing it to the point as to where I'm getting a little bit, I'm getting even more and more of an intense picture of that slide. It's the exact same thing. When you're sitting there and you're focusing on it more and more and more and more, it's going to become more intense, more emphasized. So when you're dealing with pain, especially, whether it be medical or mental, if you continually to focus on it, well, that's going to create more pain for you. You want to be able to sit there and try your very best to continue to do the things that you do. Now, this week has been really rough for me. I found out this past week that my physical therapist literally said to me, listen, we're not making any difference in your injury, so there's really no sense in doing physical therapy. We're going to need to do surgery. That's pretty discouraging.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, wait a minute here. You know, you said if we were to be able to work this out and if we were able to do this, or maybe if we did that or we did this. Bottom line is they ran out of options. And they came to the conclusion that I wasn't going to be any better unless if I had surgery, which is cutting open on my neck, which isn't altogether comforting. So that can be utterly frustrating. The way that the injury happened, was very benign. It wasn't something that was, I didn't fall, I didn't get into a fight, I didn't, nothing. All I was doing is I was sleeping and I had a PTSD moment. I have no control over having that moment. Now, here's the thing. Doesn't mean that I'm not frustrated that I had PTSD that led me to having this injury. Doesn't mean that I wasn't frustrated with the noise that had me make a move to the point as to where I really severely worked my neck to the point as to where this injury is pretty severe. I went to a doctor and they insisted, because all the symptoms are in my right arm, they insisted that I actually had an elbow injury. Insisted to the point as to where they literally about face from, oh, it's a neck injury, it's a pinched nerve, it's this, it's that. They went to, it's an elbow injury, and it cost me more than a month to be wasting my time to find out that my elbow was perfectly fine. That's frustrating. Or there are some other people go to different doctors. There's a lot of our audience goes to a number of different doctors, whether it be medical or mental doctors throughout the week. How about the ones of which they don't seem to hear you? You know, it's like they don't hear what it is that you're saying, right? Again, we're back to our motives. You're sitting there having your motive to get across what it is that you want, and the doctor's sitting there having their motive to get across what they want to get across. And sometimes that doesn't work altogether. Sometimes that's two ships passing in the night because it never intermixes. It never ends up being beneficial to either one of the parties. I mean, I sat there and I was in a doctor's office and they screwed me up with two different patients in one visit. That's frustrating.
They confused you with two different patients?
Two different patients. the doctor sat there. He said, so, you know, how are the injections working with Dr. da 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 da? And I said, excuse me, I never had any injections. Oh, excuse me. Let me go and check out. So they went outside. They came back in. I'm sorry. We had you mixed up with a different patient. It's like, now, mind you, this is a surgical consult, so this is not altogether comforting. So, and then a little bit later on in the conversation, they said, well, did you have a nerve test done yet? And I said, I had it done here in your office, in your building. It's like... And he said, oh, you did? And I'm like, yes. And then he went back out and he says, oh, that I had a different folder. And I was like, okay, you know. So that could be frustrating. You know, when we talked about it with our chronic illness segment that we did last year. When it comes to fibromyalgia, when it comes to lupus, when it comes to Lyme disease. Numerous doctors are sitting there and they're like, no, this is not a real illness. No, this symptom is because of something else. No, I don't have the theory of making this work. I don't have the victory that you're looking for Even though I went to school for however many years, I don't have the cure. How frustrating can that be? Because you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, well, you know, I don't like doctors very much, but at this time, I got to go to one. And thankfully, they went to school long enough in order to come up with, you know, enough knowledge to be able to make a difference in my life. And then they can't? You think that's not frustrating?
Yeah, dealing with the medical, it can be so frustrating, though, because of that. Because, you know, there's so many different doctors out there, and they all have different educations. And actually, it reminds me, there's a joke that says, what do you call the person who graduates last in medical school? Doctor. And there's the certain truth of that is that, you know, that you really don't know what this person's experience is that you're going to see. Mm-hmm. So getting a second opinion can be really, really valuable. But another thing that can be valuable is, especially if you're somebody who has struggled with dealing with doctors, is to bring somebody along with you who can help you ask questions. Because right. Sometimes when you're there, you know, when I'm there, I'm the patient. I'm just so focused on what's happening to me. My emotions are just so ramped up and confused by that. Then even no matter what the doctor is saying, a lot of them not processing any of it because mm-hmm. I'm just like, you know, fix me. Right. You know, that's all I can, you know, that's all I can think to say, you know, or all I can think. And sometimes bringing somebody else along who doesn't have that same emotional connection to what the doctor is saying and can more process it might be able to come out with those sort of obvious questions, things that can bring peace of mind. And, you know, always be willing to get a second opinion, especially when things like surgery are involved, like you say, with your neck. You know, especially when you hear things like, you know, different people telling you neck, and then somebody tells you elbow. And it's like, okay, well, that's something new.
Yeah.
You know, but being open to it, but that being able to also, you know, say, okay, look, bring that to another doctor. Hey, this doctor said, you know, elbow. Then now they can specifically look and eliminate that and say, okay. Mm-hmm. Now we can get rid of that because, you know, yeah, nobody said elbow before, but okay, no, that's out. So we can throw that out for now. And, but then you also get the other news of like the physical therapy not doing what they had hoped for, what they had anticipated, and saying what we need to do is probably surgery at this point. But certainly what they wanted to do at that point, they're saying is we'll stop the physical therapy. This physical therapy is really only good if it's working.
Right.
If it's not working, there is a risk that the physical therapy might actually do more damage at this point. You know, like, okay, it's not really helping you. And, you know, medical interventions are not about, you know, hey, if it doesn't kill you, let's do it. It's more like we need some evidence that it's helping, because if it's not helping you, it's really not worth risking. We need to go do something else where we actually get some help. And I guess it doesn't really force you to get the surgery. But they are kind of telling you, you know, you don't need a physical therapy because that's not going to do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, because what was happening is that I was literally going – I had traction therapy twice a week. So I was literally doing probably the most evasive therapy that was possible for my particular injury. And what was happening is that, yes, when I was doing the traction, or yes, when I was doing the exercises that were similar to traction, where they were pulling my neck and trying to, you know, trying to get it so that they can move the disc around so that they can really kind of dislodge the nerve, the ulnar nerve, away from its grasp, I would start to feel symptoms go away. I would start to feel the numbness. I would start to feel the pain go away a little bit. So it was like, oh, I think we got something here. I think we're working on it. In golf, I used to say, I found something. but I would sit there and I'm like, okay, finally, we got something going in the right direction. Then I would go ahead and I would sit up and the symptoms would return almost immediately. It was to the point as to where, again, that can be very frustrating. You could have something go in the right direction for a little while, but then all of a sudden, whoop, nope, it goes right back to it's not working. So you want to be able to look at things a little bit differently. And we just did there where I said I was frustrated with the fact and discouraged with the fact that my therapy was not making a difference. And therefore it led me to now having surgery. Wayne looked at it from the standpoint was, well, we're not going to make it worse. by doing therapy, that's not making it any better. So it's a little bit it's a twist. It's one of our foundations. It's a turn of the thought to be able to try to get the frustration a little bit less, a little bit smaller in our lives, a little bit smaller percentage in our lives. Again, we're not saying that you're not going to be frustrated in life, because you are. That's just a bottom line. Anybody who's been watching the political realm these days cannot be not frustrated. I mean, in any way. But, you know, the way that you can do things is that you can say, you know what? This is a small percentage of my life. This is not my life. This is not everything about me. And so what we want to do is we want to be able to get that across. Now, one of the things that I do in order to be able to make that happen for myself is, and that what I found out, especially this week, is a lot of people know that I do things one thing at a time, especially when it came to my injury. I can do one thing at a time. There are times as to where I don't feel well. There are times as to where my medications are knocking me out because of the pain meds. So what I try to do is I try to do one thing at a time. Now, here's the thing. That one thing at a time, I might do 5 times, or I might do 80 times. But it always starts out being one thing at a time. But it all depends on how it is that I do. And that allows me, Wayne, to be able to understand and to be able to have satisfaction that I'm at least getting something done in spite of what it is that I'm going through.
Yeah, and that's that progress, not perfection, right? Progress, progress, progress. Am I at least moving forward in some positive way? And sometimes I have to look hard to see the positive, but I have to be doing, you know, like a shark, you know, always got to be moving. You don't have to attain these far out goals we talked about earlier. You know, make smaller goals, make realistic goals, make goals that you can achieve, that helps reduce the frustration. The fact that you're actually doing something can reduce the frustration. Stop planning, start doing. It doesn't mean stop planning forever. It means stop making plans right now. You've made enough plans.
Yeah.
You know, do something and then see what happens. Cause, right. you could keep working on plans until you have the perfect plan, and then you find out you don't have enough time to execute the plan. You know, it's like, oh, now I know exactly what I need to do. Well, your time ran out. you have a certain amount of time in life to get things done. So there's a certain amount of time for planning. There's a certain amount of time for doing. And it's the doing part that's really the important part. And, get to the doing. And that requires, it's really changing thoughts. It is scary at first. You know, if you don't have I know for me, if I don't have a perfect plan, I am scared to do it. It's like I freeze, and so I have to like fight against that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it means making a much smaller plan. That's like, okay, I'll make the perfect plan maybe just to go outside, and then I'll go outside and think, you know what, I did it. And it can be little things like that that really kind of just, you know, help beat the frustration, because it's for me, the frustration I know is just for so long has been a real negative impact on my life, because I was consumed by it. Mm-hmm. And I let it consume me. And when I didn't want to deal with it, it would be through either drinking or just total isolation, or being really nasty to other people for no reason. No reason that they would know about, at least. You know, in my mind, it made perfect sense while I was being nasty to them. For them, they had no idea, because they didn't understand what expectations I had of them, as they shouldn't, because it's not their job to know what my expectations are of them. They have their own lives. You know,
right.
I need to have realistic expectations in my life. If I want to have expectations of other people, that's on me. You know, I'm the one that's choosing to have those expectations. So I'm the one that has to deal with when those expectations aren't met. Other people, they have to have expectations of themselves, and they need to be able to live their lives without me projecting onto them and then holding them accountable for, you know, not meeting my expectation of them. And when I say it all out loud and think about it, I was like, that makes sense to me, because I want to be able to do that for my life. I don't want to have to fail to meet the expectations of other people when I have no idea what those expectations are, and then me be the one that suffers the consequences of me not meeting their sort of phantom expectations. You know, it's like, that's not fair for me, so it's certainly not fair for me to do that to other people.
You make a good point. With me dealing with, like I already mentioned, I have codependency, extreme codependency, and I also have PTSD. So my expectations are often trying to figure out what everybody else's is. But you don't necessarily want to do that either, because that can be stifling. That can be a freezing point, like Wayne was talking about before. That can be a rooting point as to where you end up being stuck, because you're too busy trying to sit there and trying to figure out every possibility. And I got news for you. There are going to be times where you think that you've got it all covered. You got it covered 360 degrees. And for some reason, something doesn't go any of the expectations that you might have had. You also become, in my personal experience, you become a different derogatory terms, such as manipulative. Because I would be sitting there and I would be looking to see, okay, what's this person going to think if I say this? What's this person going to think if I do that? What's this person going to do so that I can be prepared, so that I know what to do? You end up being manipulative. You end up being paranoid. And these are terms that are have negative connotations to them, even though they aren't necessarily negative words, but they're negative connotations. Here it is. You're trying to protect yourself. You're trying to make yourself be as prepared as possible. But in the same right, you're really kind of defeating the purpose, because life is worth living. It's not about calculating. It's about living life. And frustration can sit there and have you be so jaded to the point as to where you want to calculate the perfect formula for what it is that's going to happen here. And guess what? There are going to be times where it's not going to come out the way that you thought it was going to. And there's going to be a lot of those times. It's just the way that life is. So what we try to do here at Arisen Strength is we encourage and we empower people to live their life in spite of the challenges that they have. And frustration, make no mistake, is a challenge. It's a challenge in our lives. Do the best that you can. Do what it is that you can when you can. And participate in your solutions, right? I mean, that's what we were talking about before with the education part. Participate in your solutions for what it is that's going to make your life beneficial as opposed to detrimental when it comes to these different types of frustrations. Because, again, we've talked about this before. Frustrations also can be that word, perceptions. Perceptions. It's what you think is going to be the case. It's what you think is the case, when in fact, it very well may not be. But you believe it to be 100%. That it's definitely going to be this way. And then you end up having to find out, most cases, it's not the exact way that you thought it was. So you want to be careful in doing that. Well, I got to tell you, it doesn't take long for an hour to go by when we talk.
No, it doesn't. Blink of an eye.
So next week, we're going to follow this up. We're going to follow it up with a show called Mindful versus Willful. And I promise you, this is going to be an interesting show, because it's something that a lot of people don't even realize happens in our lives. So right now, folks, we just want to say thank you for listening. We do this show every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And, you know, we're just going to continue to do what we do. We're going to talk about some tough topics. We're going to talk about some tough subjects, you know, but at the same time, we're going to utilize our pillars and our foundations in order to be able to make it so that you can be more than the challenges you face. I'm Shane Schultz, and he is
Wayne the Hack Hacker.
Wayne, my good friend. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't do this show with anybody else. For now, folks, live life with purpose, and we'll see you again next week.
Good night, everybody. The sweetest moment of life I ever knew was when I opened my eyes and saw that you were my truth. Said, how did you know,
how did you
that
know
you'd be my angel,
that you'd be my angel,
when your wings were trapped in my heart? Where did you see,
and where did you
that
see
we would be
that we would be wonderful,
and our dreams would live where we are?
How did you know
that you
trapped into my heart. Where did you see that we would be wonderful and our dreams would live where we are? How did you know that you'd be my angel when your wings were trapped in my heart? Where did you see that we would be wonderful